Great to have you with us. This morning I'm going to share a message called When Heaven Invades Earth. Just put up my slide there. And so we have a great expectation for this morning. We're just going to ask, Henk is just going to quickly share with us just what he experienced with the men's camp last year. And then just to share as well what God has done in his life. And the purpose of this morning, we're going to share a few testimonies this morning to build up your faith. To encourage you, because at the end of the service this morning, we're going to be praying for people and we're trusting for people to be healed and to be set free. So open your spirit wide, open your heart wide, and let God encourage you. Let your faith be increased. Amen. Henk, kom deel.
Okay, morning, church. Just quickly about men's camp. So I came to East London last year, at the beginning of our Jan, and I still sort of, you know, was looking for a church, and there's a sort of spiritual mentor that I had on campus that he told me, you're there for 2 years, well, minimum, stop wasting time, don't church hop, get planted somewhere, get stuck in, and it'll change your life. So so I came to Shofar, and a friend brought me here. I came from quite a conservative Afrikaans background, so I was a little bit apprehensive. And for some reason, I've been to like charismatic churches, but I was a little bit, you know, I wasn't comfortable for some reason. And basically, I've been leading worship for many years, and it's always where I've encountered God and I've been comfortable. And for some reason, like the music was good and the worship was cool, but I couldn't, like, I just saw everyone around me worshiping, and I was a little bit like, you know, I couldn't connect, and I felt distant from God, and I just felt attacked, and you know, I just felt, you know, you see that person over there, you know, see lifting his hands, smiling, worshiping, singing, it's not for you, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, and I kept being attacked, and sort of that was, and it, you know, it got me down, and this went on for about 4 months. Then men's camp was in about April, you know, Aprilish, and then May, 5 months. Oops, yeah, so. So we went on men's camp, and I was also a little bit like, you know, I didn't know a lot of the guys, you know, a little bit apprehensive or whatever. But we got there, and it was this amazing house in Port Alfred, and my eyes just went open. I just saw the hearts of every guy that was there, and it was just amazing. It was spiritual brotherhood, and a spiritual brotherhood that I didn't even know I was, you know, I was missing and that I was longing for. So it completely changed my heart. In an instant. So basically, all the things that happened, like, I connected with God again. I heard his voice. I worshipped like never before. You know, the Saturday nights on a camp is always like the big worship night. I went wild. It was amazing. So that was, you know, it was really, really cool. And we were talking about like the gift of tongues and whatever. And I told Andre, you know, Andre, I want to be able to prophesy over people and I want to heal. But I don't have this, you know, I don't really, this tongues thing, I don't know if I want it. And he was like, you know, Andre like stopped me and he said, it's not the point, you're missing the point, God wants it for you. And so in that worship session, I received the gift of tongues as well. And it was, yeah, really, really cool. So basically, all I want to do is just encourage all the guys to it changed my life. I came back, I got planted in the church, became a member, joined the worship team. And I'm just growing and learning every day. I haven't got it all figured out yet, but I mean, it's a work in progress, and it's amazing. So to all the guys, come on men's camp. It's going to change your life. Okay, so I've got another story. I'll try to make it quick. So we had sort of the course in church over the weekend, and, I'm not really one for sharing in front of a church, but I really felt that I needed to yesterday, and I shared my healing testimony. So basically, I started getting a lot of pain in my joints when I was 18. It right there and then it stopped. I swam competitively, and it just knocked me out. I couldn't really, you know, train anymore. Couldn't keep up. So I went to medical school, and in one of the lectures in about fourth year, I was like, whoa, I was like taking boxes. I was like, yes, 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 yes. So then I knew it was wrong with me. So I went to a specialist much later, of course, because I was in denial. And then eventually I was diagnosed with a form of arthritis. I'm not going to bore you with the details, in 2011. It was just everywhere. It was knees, shoulders, jaw, like sternum here, just back, of course, like was killing me. So basically what they told me was going to happen in many years to come, my spine was going to fuse, basically. They call it a bamboo spine. So I was like, ooh, you know, not at all. So I was quite emotional. I knew a guy, it's my brother-in-law's housemate from varsity, and he like had both his hips replaced at, you know, 35, and, you know, I can barely move. So I was stressing. And then I chose to become a doctor, which was probably not, you know, the smart thing to do. A lot of hours on your feet. I was just always the guy who was like shifting, and I was a little bit like, you know, always in pain. And so I was on a lot of painkillers. I was on strong painkillers every day for a couple of years. Fast forward to last year, February, March-ish. I was a little bit like, am I going to do this? I'm a young guy. Am I going to take, you know, a handful of pills that make me feel like, you know, it made me feel terrible for the rest of my life. And so I tried to stop them, which didn't work. If I would, you know, just work through the night, where the next day I was knocked out, I would just be on my couch eating and just not moving because I was like stiff and in pain. So then sort of end last year, I was bold and I came up to the front. It was in this corner right there. A couple of guys from church here prayed for me. And I felt nothing. but a peace. I felt this overwhelming peace. So I thought, you know, this is all that God was going to give me, just an emotional healing from this thing. And it was enough for me. I was like, I'll take that. I'll claim it. It's fine. As long as I don't, you know, carry this burden of being a young guy, you know, struggling to, you know, wanting to, like, you know, run half marathons and not being able to. And we prayed. And then I went home and I was a little bit like, okay, healing's not for me. It's not for me. And then a couple of weeks later, another friend of mine sitting right there, Yaku, just also, he was bold and he decided just to pray for me as well. Again, I was still in a bit of pain, but I decided to put it to the test and I stopped all my treatment completely. Initially, it was bad. It was a slow progress, but I can just like fast forward to where I am now. It's been 6 months off medication, pain-free. Yeah, I know it's amazing. I ran the surfers last year. I like pre-loaded myself with a lot of painkillers, and I ran it. But the last 5 or 6 Ks was excruciating. And this year I ran the surfers, no pain whatsoever, never. So what I want to do, and I'm ending off, is just encourage each and every one of you to believe that it is for you. It really is. It's for each and every one of us. You just have to, just have faith. And if people pray for you, just put it to the test. Do whatever you have to do. Go run a, you know, go run a marathon. I don't know. So that's all for me.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That is so encouraging. That is just so encouraging. And that's what this morning is about. When heaven invades earth, lives are changed on the inside and on the outside. And one of the biggest lies the enemy has sold us is that healing is not for everyone. It's just for some people in a far-off corner in the world. This is Africa. This is the far-off corner in the world. Okay, so we are in. We are in. Let's do this. God is incredibly good and incredibly powerful. And he wants to impact our lives. You see, the nature of the kingdom, and this is so encouraging, the nature of the kingdom is that if one person gets it, it multiplies 30, 60, and 100-fold. If one person this morning gets this message, if you allow the word of God to impact your heart, you embrace it by faith, you make it your own, we will see a 30, 60, 100-fold return. and then again, and then again, and then again. Imagine that. 100-fold return. One person that gets it. 100 people get it because he got it or she got it. And then maybe another 100 got it because one of that 100 shared it with them. It's called kingdom expansion. It's the nature of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is unstoppable. All it requires is a little bit of faith, childlike faith. Just someone to say, yes, God, I'll take it. Can things change? Can this nation change? Can the city change? Can your situation change? Can your physical problems change? Yes, it can. How does it change? Suddenly. Suddenly. You didn't expect it. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. And suddenly God moves. Go read the scriptures. God moves over and over again. Suddenly. Let's say that suddenly. God moves suddenly. And so I want to build your expectation this morning that God would suddenly impact your heart this morning. That He would suddenly remove your doubt. Remove your disappointments. Remove the past that has formed your theology. And give you a fresh new theology that says, for with God, all things are possible. For with God, all things are possible. All you need is one person to believe. One person to believe suddenly. God moves suddenly. God moves suddenly. God moves suddenly. Can things change? Absolutely. It's been said that it's abnormal for a Christian to not have an appetite for the impossible. It's abnormal for a Christian to not have an appetite for the impossible. It's abnormal. It's something's wrong. If you call yourself a Christian and you do not desire the supernatural, there is something wrong. Because the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. It's the very nature of the kingdom. So this past month, we've been on a different journeys over this year so far. The past month, we spoke about the power of godliness, that God wants to establish His order on the inside of us, integrity, humility, character, godliness. It's been a great month. Today, I'm warming up for India. Okay? So let's roll. Let's roll. We're going to India, end of the month. And we're going to do a conference there. We're going to be speaking four different churches and really believing God to impact those churches and those pastors. But the Lord is telling me if one person gets it, one man, one woman surrendered to the kingdom of God can change the world. One man or one woman who surrenders themselves to the glory and the kingdom of God, they can change the world. And so I'm trusting that some of us are going to get it this morning. That we're going to say, God, I'm that one man. I'm that one woman. I am that one that I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to surrender my inside to the living God and allow the kingdom to be birthed through me. Suddenly. I want to read this testimony to you. It's by a pastor called Nicky van der Westhuizen, and his dad was a well-known evangelist in South Africa. And he's currently a pastor in Boksburg, Gauteng. And this is in the book by a guy called Guillermo Maldonado, Spanish-American pastor. And so Nicky van der Westhuizen shares this. So Nicky van der Westhuizen's dad was a well-known evangelist that operated in the power of God. And he says, Nicky says he was watching a television broadcast by this pastor, Guillermo Maldonado. And at some stage, the guy, the pastor, pointed at the camera and he made this statement. There is a pastor watching now. You used to operate in the supernatural but have lost the power. God is restoring that right now. And your name is Pastor Nicky. It shook him profoundly. He recalls falling out of his chair onto the floor, sobbing as he knew unmistakably that God was talking to him. He had then, after that time, he had an encounter with God. And there was a release of God's anointing or empowering presence on him. Then he shares, we began to see and document creative miracles. Cancers healed, deaf ears opened, blind eyes seeing, people debt-free in 24 hours, businessmen and women prospering, attendance grow within more than 50%. So something happened there. The kingdom came suddenly. And this is why I want to use this as a template or a case study. How does the kingdom, when does heaven invade earth? When the word of God comes, then when repentance comes. So the word of God comes, then repentance comes. So he received the word of God saying, you have walked away from the supernatural. Your name is Nikki. You receive the word of God, you repent, you turn, you change your way of thinking, you realize I've been on the wrong path, and then heaven invades earth, the kingdom comes. So I'm trusting this morning that the word is going to come out, then repentance is going to come, we're going to change our way of thinking, we're going to change our hearts back to God, and then heaven is going to invade earth. Heaven is going to invade earth. So Pastor Nikki van Vestas, and he shares that in that time they were seeing all these miracles happening. And then he says his own son started to have a problem with his foot. There we had a disease of the nervous system. And so his foot became completely lame. So they went to the doctors. Doctors couldn't help him, couldn't sort it out. Nothing was going to work. There's no way they can heal this. So they were making a splint for the boy. And so Nikki van der Westen says he came to a meeting with this pastor, Maldonado, and he went to speak to him afterwards about his son and said, well, we're seeing all these miracles. My own son is not getting healed. What's going on here? And then the pastor said, well, earlier today, God spoke to me, and he said a 12-year-old boy will be healed. A 12-year-old boy will be healed of a club foot today. So they anointed a towel. He said to him, let your boy wear this for 3 days. Then we went home, put it on his boy's foot. By the second day, the pain left. By the third day, the foot was completely straightened. And now they got the splint and they put it on the wall like a testimony. Praise God. Jesus heals. The power of his anointing, the power of the word coming. Today, a boy with club foot will be healed. The word came. It was released. Repentance came, saying, I'm changing my mind. Yes, God, it is your will. And then this is how we're going to do it. And then it happened. The kingdom came. Heaven invading earth. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus, this was the essence of his ministry and his message. He went out and he preached, repent. Why? The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is poised to come. All that needs to happen for the kingdom to come is repent. Change your heart. Turn to God. Change your way of thinking. Instead of your doubt and your fears and your unbelief, believe. Have faith in God and things will happen. The kingdom will come. When you and I align our being, our insides with the kingdom of heaven, then heaven will come. Heaven will invade earth tangibly and manifestly. So what's needed is a personal revival. One man or woman surrendered to the will of God can change a nation. The kingdom must first reign within us before it can reign through us. So many say, oh, I so want God to come. And I so want the kingdom to come. I so want people to be healed. Or some of us saying, well, I have prayed for people. I've prayed for people. They died. It doesn't work. Maybe the kingdom isn't reigning on the inside. I'm not saying every time some people will be healed, but when the kingdom reigns on the inside, more people will be healed. More lives will be changed and heaven will invade earth. There are so many Christians, so many people living in defeat because of disease, because of sickness, because of back pain, because of this issue, because of that issue. So many living in defeat. And then they say, this is the will of God. God is teaching me now to suffer. That's a lie. Will he use it for his glory? Yes. Will we come to know through that pain and suffering more of the cross? Yes. But who is the author of the disease? Jesus, I love you so much, I want to give you cancer. Nonsense. That's a lie. Every disease, every sickness, every evil thing on the face of this earth comes out of another kingdom. It's called the kingdom of darkness. That's the origin of it. That's the source of it. The kingdom of darkness doesn't come from God. And so, when does the kingdom come? When does the kingdom come? The kingdom comes when the kingdom reigns on the inside of us. Then the kingdom's going to reign through us. So many people are praying for revival. God, we pray that revival would come to South Africa, but we're not willing to surrender ourselves to the lordship of Christ. We want God to do incredible things, but we're not willing to lay down our lives for the kingdom. Jesus told a parable where he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. A man found it. He sold everything he had, and he bought it. The kingdom. Sells everything because he realizes this is more precious. The kingdom of God is more precious than anything on the face of this earth. For when the kingdom reigns on the inside of us, then you can step into someone's life who is desperate, who is broken, who's messed up, and you can cause the kingdom to come in a moment. Suddenly. Suddenly. Luke 17:20-21, the Pharisees were asking Jesus. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You won't see it with your physical eyes. You won't see it with your physical senses. You can't like go look for it somewhere. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. For the kingdom of God is within you. Let's say that. For the kingdom of God is within me. So what does that mean? That means you must see the kingdom with your spiritual eyes. You must become aware of the reality of the kingdom of heaven more than you are of the kingdom of the earth. You see, many of us, we are so entangled in the things of this world. All we're seeing is our problems and our challenges and our issues. We're just so bound to this earthly realm. We're so bound to the earthly. So we can't connect with the heavenly. Jesus is saying, see with the eyes of your heart. Come into, see the kingdom. Let it reign within you. Let this greater reality be manifested on the inside of you, and the kingdom will come. The kingdom will come. I've experienced this a few times, just this incredible faith. I shared this yesterday, but when we did a healing service at the Bikers Church next door, that was the one time in my life that I had incredible, I just knew. It's not like, oh, Jesus, please, I hope you're going to do something today. It's just, I knew. I had supernatural faith, gift of faith. I knew that God's going to heal people this evening. Guaranteed. And so I could just have people stand up, and we prayed for them, and then they were healed, and they came to testify. Our God is glorious, but there needs to be faith. The kingdom needs to reign on the inside. Faith is a commodity of the kingdom of heaven, but when it comes and settles upon our hearts, all things are possible. All things are possible. So let's trust God to see the kingdom. And I'm trusting as I'm sharing that you're going to see it. So how does the kingdom come? The word must come. Then repentance must come. And then the kingdom comes. 2 years ago, about April 2 years ago, I repented. I realized we were battling with Sonic. We shared this a few times before, but I repented. I had to say, God, I theologically speaking, I believe you powerful. But I repent. Forgive me. I do not know your power. This morning when I woke up, I just sensed God speaking to my heart, and he said to me, if you do not know my power, you do not know me. If you do not know my power, you do not know me. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and he told them, you're mistaken, for you neither know the word of God nor the power of God. You're deceived. You're mistaken. You see, if you do not know the power of God, you don't know him, because he is powerful. If you do not know his power, you will misunderstand him. You will misread the word. I mean, I've been reading scripture since 1996. I'm amazed how I've missed all the healings, all the miracles, and I readapt them for some form of metaphorical application. No, Jesus healed everyone, it says, quite a few times. Everyone. If you do not know his power, you do not know him. And so 2 years ago, I had to repent. I had to humble myself and say, God, I don't know you. Come on. But I want to know you. And I'll do anything to know you. God, I'll do anything. Whatever you want me to do, I will position myself. I'll look like a fool in front of people, but I want to know you. I want to know you. And so there needs to be repentance where you say, God, I don't know you. I'm living a religious existence, but I don't know your power. I've allowed my past to define my theology. I've allowed my failures to define my faith. I want to know you. One man surrendered to the will of God can change a nation. And I believe this church is going to get this. The Lord is already working incredible things in us. We had a wonderful weekend. And we've come far from 2 years ago. Praise Jesus. We had an evening of the supernatural, and then we trusted God for words of knowledge. And so we all miserably failed except Rosie. Well done, Rosie. She got the right word. Yesterday we had people, about 8 or 9 people, just sharing words of knowledge. They were all right. Praise Jesus. I was shocked. Shouldn't have been, but I was shocked. I think, God, wow. So you, God, you can work through any person. Not just the leaders of the church. Whoever, the whosoever. Just carry his presence and allow his power to move through us. So anyway, so 2 years ago we repented and we started to walk a journey. End of 2012, December, in November 2012, I had this word that God's going to release healing. In 2013, we had 100 plus people healed. Praise God. And I believe it's just the start. It's just a warm up. It's just getting started, because God is wanting to raise up not just a person that believes. He wants to raise up a church that believes, a people that believes, exponential kingdom expansion. That is what God wants to do. Let's look at verse Luke 12:32. Hallelujah. Just having some fun. Luke 12:32. Jesus speaking, he says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's a powerful verse. Jesus saying, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Who? Your Father's good pleasure. We relate to him as Father. Our God is our dad. He's our dad, and he wants to give us an inheritance, not just one day in heaven. He wants to give us an inheritance on earth right now. And then he says, do not fear. The Amplified says, do not be alarmed and struck with fear. Why is Jesus saying that? Because that's what happens. Eh? That's what we do. We get alarmed and we're struck with fear. We look at our circumstances. We look at our diseases. We look at our challenges and we freak out. Jesus is saying, don't fear. Don't fear. And then he says, little flock. And he's saying, thank you, Jesus. We're sheep. Do you know how cool that is? That's like as low as you can go. That's as dumb as it can be. That's as powerless as it can be. I mean, just wool them to death. You know, it's just like, whoa. You know, it's just there's no defense, okay? There's just play dead. I hope they don't see you type of thing, you know? A sheep has no way of defending itself. That's who we are. We are weak. We are frail. We can do nothing of our own ability. Nothing of our own ability, in our own ability, in our own strength. Yet Jesus says, I know your sheep. Well, actually, you're little sheep. Little sheep. So I understand when you look at your circumstances in the context of yourself, yep, freak out, I agree. But don't. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's, the one who loves you passionately. His good pleasure. His good pleasure. It says it gives him great happiness to give you the kingdom, to cause the kingdom of heaven, the superior kingdom of heaven, to come to earth. He wants to give it to you. He wants to cause it to reign on the inside of you and then through you. The kingdom, to cause heaven to invade earth, to cause the kingdom to reign within you and then through every circumstance. Let the kingdom reign. I want to read this testimony to you out of the same book. A lady called Alejandra from Argentina. She undergone three operations in the previous 12 months to cure her of breast cancer that threatened her life. Her left breast had been removed, and she was undergoing chemotherapy, which had caused the loss of her hair. She discovered a lump on her breast the size of an egg. This is now the other breast. While she was breastfeeding a newborn daughter, and the doctors confirmed that it was cancer. She says, when I heard the news, all I knew to do was to hold on tight to God and say, Lord, I give you my life. I was expecting my miracle, so I never let go. They prayed for her. She didn't feel anything when they prayed for her. She returned to the doctor for further testing a week or two later. Everyone was surprised to discover that the cancer had disappeared. This egg of a tumor disappeared. But that's not all. After three operations, her left breast looked like a tiny mass the size of a raisin. Everything down to the bone had been removed, including muscle tissue. She was unable to lift her left arm or do anything else with it because it would swell due to the lack of ligaments. Her husband, Juwan, continued the story by telling us, I say to God, this is not the God I know. I want a new breast for my wife. Come on, guys. Yes. Yes. Then he says, I made a covenant, believing he would do it. One morning she said to me, look, when I looked, her breasts were the same. The only visible mark was a small scar caused by the surgery. God created a new breast. He loved the husband very much. Every testimony is an invitation for God to do the same. We've seen this over and over again. We just share a testimony of the previous healing, and then someone receives the same thing in another meeting, at another place, another time. It's the spirit of prophecy. It causes the power of God to be released again. Creative miracles. Our God can do anything. Our God can do anything. And so we see this in the scriptures, that men of God had encounters with God. Men like Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, John the Apostle. They had incredible encounters with God. It rocked their worlds. It absolutely rocked their world. Even Job. Remember Job, end of the book of Job? Job is a righteous man, good man. God was telling everyone, oh, this guy's great. And then Job says many things about God. At the end of the book, end of the chapter, Job sees God. Do you know what he does? He repents in dust and ashes and says, God, I know. I realize I didn't have a cooking clue. I didn't know how awesome you are. I didn't know how powerful you are. I didn't know how amazing you are when we see him. And so I want to just go read it for yourself. Just the accounts in scripture where men had an encounter with God. They saw the throne room of heaven. Do you know what they saw? Some of them, like Daniel, saw a throne. And he said he saw the Ancient of Days on this throne. Isaiah says, and I saw the King. And he says that this throne is a throne of fire. It was ablaze. It says that this being was found in unapproachable light. couldn't see him. Just so bright, brighter than the sun. His face shining brighter than the sun. Around his throne, 100 million plus worshiping him. Big throne room. And then it says a stream of fire went forth from before his throne. A stream of fire. Judgment? Yes. But I believe also the fire of God speaks of his passionate burning love for mankind. He passionately loves mankind. I believe the same fire that is judgment to those in the kingdom of darkness is our greatest reward. His Holy Spirit, fire. It's amazing that we pray for people, especially when we were in India. We pray for people and then they would ask the interpreter, we ask what's happening. They'd say, it's the fire. It's the fire. And then they get healed. It's the fire. You see, fire, the fire of God, the very essence of God, the presence of God, the stream of fire, it burns away everything that is of the kingdom of darkness. Whatever is of the kingdom of darkness, it burns it away. For those sons of God, daughters of God, it's peace. It clothes us. We've had just testimonies of Satanists who became Christians. And they would tell when they would walk down the street and they would see, they would know who are the Christians. They would be glowing with the fire in the presence of God. The light would just shine through them and they couldn't curse them. The fire of God. Our God is this incredible, glorious, almighty, all-powerful King that reigns over the whole world and universe. So as background, I'm going to go into all the theology, but just to give you an idea, there are basically three realms, three heavens. From the scriptures, we can deduce that. Realm one, first heaven, is the earthly realm. That's where people rule. Like in this nation, the name above every other name is Jacob Zuma. Shucks. We honor him as our president. We wish for more godliness, but we still honor him. But he's the name above every other name in this nation. The earthly realm. Then the second realm is the kingdom of darkness. That's where evil rules, principalities, powers, and Satan. Lucifer, he is the name above every other name in that realm. And then we have the third heaven. The third heaven, the realm above the other two, and the center of that realm is the throne of God and of our King, our glorious King. And the name above every other name is Jesus. The name above every other name, and that name reigns over every other realm. That kingdom is vastly superior to every other kingdom. Jesus reigns and rules over all three realms. And he has called you and me to come and sit with him above Jacob Zuma, above the devil, above every other name with Jesus at his right hand. That's what the scriptures speak of. Christians, we are not on defense. We are on offense. The kingdom is coming. When heaven invades earth, everything that's not of the kingdom of heaven must give way. Must give way. So the kingdom of darkness, the second realm, is the origin of sickness, sin, poverty, and all evil. All of these flow from the kingdom of darkness, yet the superior kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus came to demonstrate the superior kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal the kingdom of heaven. He came to show what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it says that, and Jesus went about what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What gospel means? Good news. So Jesus went about saying, guys, I have good news. You've been tormented by evil and sin and sickness since the beginning of time, after Adam and Eve messed up. I've come to bring a new kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he said, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So Jesus is saying, I don't care if it's physical, spiritual, your past, your previous generations, your oma, your opa, your your tani, I don't care who did it to you or what happened to you. In my name be healed. For when the kingdom of heaven comes, the kingdom of darkness must give way. It must give way. And so now we are called to release God's kingdom on earth. Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10. In this manner, don't know if it's there, but you know it well. It's the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, let's say this. I'm going to say the new said. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As what is in heaven? In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no sin. In heaven, there's no evil. So when we're saying, let heaven come to earth, we're saying, God, let your kingdom come and reign over every evil. Hallelujah. Right here, right now, the kingdom of heaven can come in and transform our lives. Right here and right now, the sick can be healed. The oppressed by evil, fear, anxiety, whatever form, physical or emotional or spiritual, Jesus is the healer. All we need to say, Father, let your kingdom come. Let it reign in us. Another powerful testimony to encourage Ellen. Testimony of a lady from in Denver in the United States. Her father-in-law was beaten with a metal pipe and damaged his eye so much that they had to remove the eye. And the eye area was stitched shut. So they removed the eye, they stitched it, they closed it. Then this lady was in a service. They just watched a video about healing. Watched a video. The father-in-law without the eye is still in hospital. She's in the meeting. She feels moved by the Spirit to put her hand over the eye to stand proxy for her father-in-law, watching the video, and then they put their faith together and prayed. The pastor, his name is Damien, he said 30 minutes after the service, she phoned him screaming into the phone, and he thought someone's dead. She screamed, "The eye is back!" So what happened is, in the hospital that morning, the doctor noticed something moving under the stitched eyelid. So he opened it up, and there was an eye. It says that he was able to see shapes and shadows, such as a newborn baby see before his vision is fully developed. Later, he was able to see perfectly. God created a new eye. This man wasn't a believer. Guess what? He became a believer, and he is on fire for God. Isn't that glorious? I wanted to share that because the person wasn't even in the meeting, and they was just watching a video. Talk about God's kingdom expanding in a glorious way. Someone just put out their faith, and God moved. Look at this verse, Acts chapter 2. 34 to 35. Old Testament prophecy being quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Then he says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Yes. Woo, come on. So this is God the Father speaking to the Son Jesus after he has overcome on the cross. You see, Jesus completely surrendered himself to the kingdom of heaven. He didn't want to go to the cross. He was saying, "Father, if there's any other way, can we do something else?" And he said, "But not my will be done, yours." Father, your will be done. Your will be done. So the kingdom reigned on the inside of Jesus Christ completely, completely. He learned obedience, as the scripture says, and he surrendered himself to the will of God. He went to the cross and he won the most incredible victory. The most incredible victory ever. He won it on the cross. He clapped the second realm out of the park. And God the Father says to his son, my son, because you were willing to surrender yourself completely to my will and to my plan and to my kingdom, now, my son, after being risen from the grave, after ascending into heaven, now come and sit at my right hand. And I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. Your victory on the cross is so final, it is so complete that you don't have to do anything from this point onwards. The victory will just now move forward and my kingdom will expand and the kingdom of darkness will become your footstool. And I believe Jesus is saying the same for each of us. Come and sit at my right hand. I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. Whatever you're facing, disease, financial problems, whatever it might be, Jesus will reign over it. On Friday morning, I got up with this word in my heart. I just felt God saying, you underestimate the significance of the cross. You underestimate the significance of the cross. You underestimate the significance of the cross. Since I've been meditating on this, saying, I agree. I do. I don't have a revelation as I should. Our God, our King, is the only King, Jesus, to invite his subjects to come and reign alongside him as family. Come and reign with Jesus. Come and reign with Jesus. Last verse, ending off. Romans 16, 19. It says, for your obedience, let's say that obedience, has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Satan means adversary. Whatever comes against you, if it be the devil himself, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. For who? First verse there, verse 19. Your obedience has become known. This incredible thing happens. When you and I align ourselves with the kingdom of God, we submit our will, we surrender to the kingdom of God, then God begins working on our behalf. He begins working on our behalf. When we start declaring, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That surrender. Some years ago, we shared the story before, and I share this again. Sonica was having a hectic time at work, pressure, some crisis at work, and we were just about to step into a missions planting a church in Cape Town, and so we're sitting in bed, and she was just terrified, I guess, just really upset. So I prayed for her. As I was praying for her, she saw a picture. Just put up the green first. She saw a picture of a snake. Like this viper with the snake ready to strike. And then as I prayed for her, suddenly she saw something change. Next one. She saw a snail. The snake changed into a snail. And then she saw this. Come on. That is so profound. For the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under our feet. Yes, he was a serpent. He was a snake. He was powerful, a viper, ready to strike, ready to kill, ready to bring destruction. Until Jesus died on the cross. What happened? Jesus disarmed him. The Bible says Jesus disarmed the principalities and the power, removed all the weapons, dethroned them, became a snail. And now he's saying the God of peace shall soon, what about today, crush Satan under your feet. And there's this glorious partnership. God doesn't just do it on your behalf. He says he crushes him under your feet. Your feet. So you must believe. You must say, God, I trust you. Like the lady who lost the one breast and then cancer in the other one. Say, God, I hold on to you. I put my faith in you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in me, in us. You'll crush the enemy under your feet. Cancer is a snail compared to the power of the kingdom. Sin, any form of disease, evil becomes a snail. When you and I are full of the power and the presence of God, you know, you freak the devil out. He's terrified of you. I've seen this. He's terrified. Woo! Come on. One spirit-filled believer strikes terror into the kingdom of darkness. All you need to do is believe that the enemy is now a snail because he's been converted, transformed. Final defeat. Victory on the cross. Complete and final victory. All you need to do is believe. But then it says, align your heart and your life with the kingdom. Is the devil powerful? Yes. When you live in disobedience and rebellion and arrogance and pride, he's going to hurt you. Definitely. Undeniably. But when you humble yourself and you say, Jesus, I repent. I've heard your word. I realize your kingdom is glorious. You are the great king. I humble myself. Forgive me for living a life separate from you. I want to come in alignment with you. I want to come and sit next to you on that throne. I want the kingdom to reign through my life. Lord Jesus, I repent. I turn my heart to you. I want to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And you will experience that victory. You will. How hungry are you for the kingdom? How desperate are you for God? See, if you don't know his power, you don't know him. You don't know him. If you want to know him, you need to know his power. And it all starts with saying, God, I hear your word, now I turn. I repent. Forgive me. One man or one woman surrendered to the will of God can change a nation. Do we have a few world changes here this morning? I think we have. I think we have. Praise God. Let's allow heaven to invade earth. Hallelujah.